This is a special edition of Perfecting Your Practice, Optimize Your Business Finances and Outreach on ReachMD. The following episode is provided in partnership with Bankers Healthcare Group. Here is your host, Keith Grubel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode number 5, the most important factors of medical practice finance. This is your host once again, Keith Grubel. I hope that you've been enjoying the content that we've been sharing. Obviously, we're very passionate about finance, but we're very passionate about the healthcare space as well. So being able to share some information with you and helping you grow your knowledge and manage your practice as far to perfection as you can is something that's really near and dear to us. So thanks again for taking some time to tune in. Again, I hope you've been enjoying all of the information that we've been putting forward. I hope you're finding quality in it, and it's helping you improve your practice. No, perfect your practice. So it turns out that there's a lot more to being a medical business owner than just treating patients. I'm sure you've all figured that out by now. But if you start looking at owning a practice, you have to really start understanding that you are more than anything a business owner. And you've heard me say this before, and I'll continue to repeat it for you. You are the CEO of this business. Ultimately, it's your responsibility for the success or demise of it. And not just of your own business, but of, again, the place that pays your bills, your family's bills, the place that helps employ your staff, the place that helps add value to other people's lives. I know it sounds like a big responsibility, but I'm sure that using some of the tips and tools that you're learning through this series, you'll be able to manage that a little bit more efficiently and hopefully a lot more effectively find ways to perfect your practice. Today, we're going to be talking about the most important factors of medical practice finance. And while there are a ton of them and we could really dissect every single one of them down to kind of the smallest level possible, I want to hit you with what I think are 4 of the biggest, most important areas that you should be focusing on. Now let's talk about this concept of being the CEO of your practice. Again, your responsibility as a CEO is to make sure that the business is running well, that it's healthy and organized, that it's executing as best as possible, that it's in a great financial position, and that its growth continues. You'll always hear me say, if you're not evolving, you're going to become extinct. So how do we start evolving our finances and making sure that we're managing the most important areas of it? Well, we've got to dive in here and really understand it further. So first things first, I hope that you've built a great team around you, and I'm sure you have. Let's face it. If your practice has been around for a while, I'm sure that it's not just due to you, but to the team that you've built around you, and kudos to you. I'm glad that you're picking up the right people and adding smart people to your office that'll help you manage that business as best as possible. But at the same time, again, being the CEO, it all ends with you. The buck stops here. So we need to make sure that you're diving in and understanding everything from a financial perspective and knowing that you're not just handing it off and kind of giving the keys to the kingdom to somebody to manage, but you're actually involved in it and actively managing and working with your staff, with your team, to make them as best as possible and to make your practice as perfect as possible. I mean, think about it. You wouldn't take your personal finances and hand them off to somebody without checking in. If you have a financial advisor, I'm sure you speak to them regularly. So why'd you do that with your business? Again, your practice is probably the largest asset you have. It's going to give you the most return that you will see. So let's make sure that we're setting it up for success, that you're involved and engaged in the financial aspect of the business, and that you're being proactive about putting a plan together to help you get there. So speaking of plans, do you have an annual plan? Have you looked at the beginning of the year at your finances for the prior year and started understanding what your goals were? Have you set any team goals for yourself and for your staff to make sure that you're driving towards a better practice? Something to think about. Well, if you haven't yet, now's a good time to start. Let's dive in there and start creating a plan and executing on it, as we said. There's an old saying that I've heard time and time again. It rings truer and truer every time that I hear it. The reality is that execution trumps knowledge. Execution trumps everything. So let's not just hear about this. Jot down some notes, take down some information, put together a plan, and execute on it. So part of that plan means checking in regularly on your finances and doing kind of an overview, top to bottom, from income or revenue, all the way down to expenses, all the way down to your net income. And again, if you created an annual plan, it should give you a good path for you to move down. So on a monthly basis, you want to be checking into that, at least a monthly basis, because let's face it, your revenue and receivables change almost on a daily basis. If you're checking in at least once a month, you're starting to be proactive instead of reactive to your financial environment. And that's going to be important in maximizing the health of the business. So some areas that you want to check in on that I always tell people, if you take a look at these four main categories, it's going to give you the best option at success, the best opportunity at success. Just like with health and wellness, we can go into 1,000 different areas and dive into every little thing that should be improved. But if you take a look at these big four areas, these kind of four things will be able to move the tide and start getting you flowing in the right direction. Flowing. Speaking of flowing, cash flow. That's the first thing that you want to be looking at. Cash flow is the lifeblood of any business, large or small, healthcare or not. If you have steady income, you can maintain your day-to-day business. You can invest in the practice. Hopefully, you can start planning for future growth, storing some money away, making sure that you've got a good reserve account, and putting yourself in a better position financially overall. Just because you're still waiting for patients to either pay their invoices or commit to a procedure for their pet, it doesn't mean you can't put off issuing that you can put off issuing paychecks. You've got to keep paying the business expenses. Regardless of how you prepare yourself, or sorry, what happens out there, you've got to prepare yourself to make sure that you can keep the doors open and that business operating. So let's talk about some ideas on how we can do that. As they say, the show must go on. So how do we keep it rolling? First and foremost, let's talk about the cash flow. Implement payments at the time of service for your patients. That means talking about it. And again, I tell people all the time, it starts with you. Before you start a procedure, before you start engaging a patient in a plan of action, make sure you're talking about the payments. Make sure you're talking about what it costs. Find solutions for them to be able to leverage to make sure that they can pay for the services that you're offering them. Number two, your insurance claims. Submit them daily. Yes, I know. Every single day. You've heard 1,000 times from your front office, that's okay, that's done on this day or that day. It's done Monday, it's done Friday, it's done Wednesday. It should be done every day. This is going to help prevent a lag time in getting reimbursed and putting money back into your business. So there's two major areas right there just from the front side of securing the cash flow. That's number one, making sure that you're managing the collection cycle, creating the right expectations for your patients, making sure they understand the cost of the process, procedure, or whatever treatment plan that you're putting in place for them, and that they understand how to go about repaying it and that they have to repay it. Number two, making sure you're managing the insurance claims on a daily basis, making sure that you have consistent revenue flow as opposed to kind of these peaks and valleys that happen when you wait till once a week, once every 2 weeks, or once a month. Remember, insurance is changing on a daily basis. The coding is changing constantly. And if you're not getting the right codes in that system, you could be waiting a long time for those reimbursements to come through. So I highly recommend to make sure you stay on top of those. Another area we like to talk about is debts. Yes, debt. Debt's one of those things that can be very crippling to people. They don't like talking about it. We put it off. Kind of painful to think about, and sometimes you don't realize how you got there, but you look up, all of a sudden you've got a mountain of debt in front of you and you just don't know how to dig your way out. So what's the easiest thing to do? We all know. You ignore it. You ignore it and hope that it goes away. Or you commit to yourself and say something like, I'm going to make extra payments every month and this is going to go away. The reality is that if you don't sit down and kind of face the monster, it'll never go away. You've got to face the debt that's standing out there and understand what you can do to help leverage your debt to make your business successful. Not all debt is bad debt. Good debt, like investing in your business that has a positive return for you, that you understand what is going to do for your cash flow, is great. But bad debt, when I say bad debt, multiple different debt lines sitting out there that are hitting your accounts at different times of the month to create inconsistencies in your cash flow and constant payments coming out of your account, well, that's bad debt. See, here's the other thing. Most times people have monthly payments that are coming out for all different kinds of things. And we said, hey, there's not a one-size-fits-all type of loan in one of our previous podcasts. And we talked about leveraging the right type of debt for the right situation. But the reality is that a lot of times when you look at the debts out there, many of them can be consolidated. A lot of times there's ways that you can kind of tie them together to have one monthly payment. Sometimes it's as simple as sitting down and talking with some of your vendors and asking if they can arrange the payment dates to correlate with maybe kind of the higher revenue to cycles in your month. You've got to make sure that you're managing this debt, hopefully getting everything down into one monthly payment, that you have a fixed payment over a set term with only one interest rate and one loan to worry about will help get you in the right position. Make sure that you're managing that debt well. If it feels overwhelming or you realize that there's way too many debts coming out of your account at different times of the month, then it's something that you've got to really start sitting down and facing. Speaking of facing, there's a lot of monthly expenses that you kind of have on a daily basis that you're not facing and you're not looking at. Well, it ranges everywhere. People ask, what kind of expenses? Well, there's things like your front office. And when I say your front office, I'm not talking about the people sitting in your front office. I'm talking about the front of the house, your waiting room. I see more often than not piles and piles of magazines sitting in a lobby. There's cable television. There's a coffee station. There's all these amenities and things that we're putting in the practice because we want to make it feel warm and inviting and comfortable. But realistically, most people aren't looking further than their smartphone that's in their hand. They're not even paying attention to the magazines you have out there in the lobby. That's a small example that we're talking about, but you start looking at that. If there's 10 different magazines being delivered to your office and you're paying for them, you know, it starts adding up. I always tell people, start with the small stuff and then add to the big stuff. So look for the little expenses in your office. Oh, by the way, speaking of expenses, when was the last time you cleaned out the supply closet? Probably been a long time, huh? Seems like a trivial task, but really sitting down with your staff and going through the supply closet, you'd be surprised what you find in there. Oftentimes, there are things that have been ordered and never returned, or there's a ton of things that are outdated and not being used, or there may be a pile or a box of something down in that left corner that, man, we just totally forgot was sitting there. Got to be looking at these expenses and understanding how they impact you, your debts, your monthly cash flow. You want to look at the expenses also, like your suppliers. Who are you getting your supplies from? Are you getting the best deals? When was the last time you sat down and actually reviewed one of your invoices from one of your suppliers? Went line by line through it, maybe shopped it around, asked for a discount. I know it sounds a little odd, but I tell people all the time, I ask for a discount anywhere I go on anything I can. And you know, some people might look down on that. They might find it amusing, but heck, I always taught that a penny saved is a penny earned, and I'd rather save as many pennies as I can. Look down at all of your expenses. Run them all down with your office manager. Maybe print out the bank statement and just go through line by line everything that's coming out of there and start with the biggest one and tackle it. Look at what you can add back into your bottom line, where you can save a couple of dollars, because I'm telling you, it starts small, but it grows real big real quick. Speaking of that, growing big and quick, one of the things that we want to grow and as quickly as possible is your monthly income. How do you get more patients to come through the door? How do you get more visits in your door? Well, marketing, special services, special promotions, adding new services. Maybe it's a reminder to patients. Well, have you ever leveraged technology to do some of that stuff? I know a lot of healthcare offices that operate the same way. Either they're not sending a reminder, they are sending a reminder. It's a postcard that comes every once in a while. There are so many innovative ways to reach out to your customers these days. Your patients are your customers at the end of the day. You might be reaching out to them to share a happy birthday note or a happy anniversary, or just let them know about some great things that are going on in the community or some new services that are being offered in your practice. You've got to constantly be looking on ways to build your current patient base up to continually visiting your office, but you also have to grow and understand how to get more patients in the door. You know, as I mentioned a couple of times in my previous episodes, there are so many more healthcare professionals out there every single day. You're competing in a landscape that has online forums that people are looking at to try to solve their answers. They're looking for an efficient way to work through the process. What they're looking for is really an easy, hassle-free, simple way to get the healthcare information they need and the services that you provide as efficiently as possible. Look for ways to make your office as efficient as possible, as customer-friendly as possible, and reach out to those patients, letting them know that you're there for them, that you've got that touch that they need, the experience that they're looking for, and the information and solutions that they require. So once you understand the financial landscape of the business, you can start sitting down and brainstorming ideas and implementing them to make your business even greener than what it is today. Sit there and engage your team, as we talked about. Hopefully you've already selected the right players, and I'm sure you have, but now let's go ahead and leverage them. Engage them in ideas. Let's have some fun share sessions where you can talk about what can we do together to increase the business, to grow our practice together. Again, they're just as invested in this as you are. Make them aware of the most important factors of your healthcare practice finance. Let them know what they're looking at, what you're looking at from a financial perspective, and ask them for their ideas and their feedback. Again, as the CEO of the practice, you owe it to yourself to make a plan, to set that plan and to execute on that plan to create a financially healthy future for you, your family, and your team. Well, that's all the time we have today. Thanks so much for tuning in to episode 5. Most Important Factors of Medical Practice Finance. I hope you're enjoying this series on perfecting your practice, and I look forward to chatting with you on our next podcast. Make it a great day.
The preceding program was provided in partnership with Bankers Healthcare Group. To find other episodes in this series, visit reachmd.com/perfectingyourpractice. For more information on Bankers Healthcare Group, go to www.perfectingyourpracticetoday.com. ReachMD. Be part of the knowledge.